This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah, I just want to be all right with it. Yeah.
You know, for all this, the complaining that I'm seeing about Danny Ainge on Twitter, and I know you're upset about it, Matt, in our group chat, you're getting all pissed at him, but he did us a huge favor. He extended Gordon Hayward's deadline for his opt-in to the night of the day that we decided that we were going to do our episode this week. So it works out perfectly. Like, it was a huge favor. Now, what Gordon did, obviously, was freaking stupid, but you got to appreciate that. That was the best move that he made all week.
I can't appreciate him. I'm still mad.
I cannot believe how mad you've gotten. I'm not saying you're unjustified in some of the decisions that he's been making, but or decisions he hasn't been making, I guess. But either way, all joking aside, the Hayward stuff is remarkable. So for the fans who are still kind of confused about what happened with Gordon Hayward, aside the fact that he opted out, which I think is pretty self-explanatory, he could still re-sign with the Celtics. Or now he can go and sign elsewhere with another team. And if he re-signs with the Celtics, he's going to be making less money. He just might have a longer deal. So it's a little confusing. I look at it as, what the hell is this guy doing? Like, he's going to opt out and he's going to screw the Celtics over just so he can sign with the Hawks or the friggin' Knicks. So, you know, you got the Wanamaker of news first, though, Matt, but I got to hear how you feel about the Hayward stuff first.
I mean, I kind of feel the same way how you just described it. I would say that I wouldn't mind if he signs back with us for less money. I've always said that. The only issue I've really had is how much money he gets paid. He's not worth $34 million.
No,
they re-sign him for $20 million. I'm fine with that. It hurts us if he does go sign somewhere else because that's all dead money, correct?
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's so the because I saw our cap guy over at USA Today, he broke down all of it. And it so the Celtics would now be under the luxury tax if Hayward leaves, but they are still over the cap. So he doesn't really do much for them because they don't care about the luxury tax right now. They obviously want Hayward there. So, but Ty, like one of the things that jumps out to me, and I know Matt, you go to battle with the Hayward fans all the time, but Ty has, I think, dealt with some of that a little bit more so lately because of the stuff that he wrote for EEI.com with the Who Says No trades. Some of them may be justified in the criticism, but either way, seeing people jump through hoops on this whole Gordon Hayward thing, like the Celtics loyalists, like trying to figure out like what's the nice, right, supportive thing to say, you must have enjoyed that a little bit.
Well, yeah, because I think a lot of people that are, you know, listening to our podcast or that call the station or tweet us, they just think it's like 2K where you can just offer a team a trade and like overwhelm them with draft picks and it's going to go through. Like, he wants to play in it. Yeah, exactly. It seems pretty apparent he wants to play in Indiana. So, like, everyone's like, oh, well, why isn't Danny just trading to Indiana? Well, like, the money has to work out here. He either has to restructure his contract and become, like, a $20 or $25 million a year player, like you said, Matt, or he's really fucking hard to trade at $34 million a year. So, just trade him for Miles Turner. Well, that doesn't work. Miles Turner makes $18 million a year, and Hayward's at 34. So what are you going to do? Add Doug McDermott and Miles Turner to get Hayward? Well, that's not an even trade. So it's like there's a lot of stuff to be worked out here just to send him to Indiana. Mm-hmm. Where else are you going to send him? There's not many other spots that would take him.
Yeah.
I mean, not many teams have like a huge trade exception. The cap room, like it's just – there's so many small – there's like two or three teams that are realistically going for Gordon Hayward. And like the really – the one team that wants him the most can't really trade for him.
Mm-hmm. The Hawks stuff is awful. That's awful because like now they can totally go get him. You don't need to do anything with the Celtics. And then it's like the friggin' Knicks. You really want to go play for the Knicks? Like that to me, Matt. Like that's like when we've talked about Hayward. Some of the criticisms we've had from him before. I feel like that type of move. The Hawks is one thing, but going to play for the Knicks when they're clearly in rebuild mode is such a bad look for him.
Oh, it'd be terrible. He wants to just be irrelevant again. He can put up 20 points a game and all the mm-hmm. Hayward fans can say, see, he's good. And I'd be like, yeah, we'll see. The Knicks have 10 wins. But can I don't know this off the top of my head. Can the Pacers sign Hayward without doing a sign and trade with the Celtics? Do they have enough cap room to sign him for whatever, say no. $20 million?
They don't. They can't sign him for the money that the Hawks would sign him for, and certainly not for what the Celtics would sign him for.
So what's your gut feeling, guys, on the whole thing? About do you think that this is a move to re-sign him and then trade him, or do you think we actually have a chance to re-sign him to a new deal and he stays?
I think he stays. Honestly, I do. Yeah. I think he's re-signing and I think he's staying because when you looked at what happened with when you look at some of the tweets afterwards, I think it was Himmelsbach that was talking about how it was Mark Murphy who's been all over stuff lately. Like he's, you know, don't get me wrong, Mark Murphy's good at his job and everything, but he has particularly stood out of the Boston beat writers of late because he was on the Harden stuff, which we will get to later. But he said, you know, a la Al Horford, like what they thought was going to happen with Al, which I forgot to put that in our notes. The Al Horford stuff is unbelievable. But I think that he's going to re-sign because part of me just thinks he doesn't want to go, and he has this opportunity now to still stay and still get a decent contract, and Ainge and Stevens still value him, I think.
I think it just comes down to, do you think he wants to stay here?
I do. I do. Why would you? Like, I think he still wants to win, and I think they still value him. I mean, if he has a different role, I mean, that's one thing, but maybe he thinks, too, if I'm healthy, like truly healthy, and I think, you know, I think he thinks he's back to where he wants to be for the most part, then I can still help us win. And the Celtics are, I mean, there's only a few teams that could give you such a good chance to win and contribute like he wants to. I think he wants to win. Don't you, Ty?
Yeah, that was one thing we talked about on OMF because it was weird that everyone's like, oh, he wants to go play in Atlanta or he wants to go play in Indiana where he's going to be at best the third option there for teams that aren't contenders. So, like, why not be the fourth option for a really good Celtics team? Make your $34 million. Bet on yourself and then cash in next offseason and potentially try and win a ring now. So, like, all these people that were reporting of, you know, Indiana, New York, Atlanta, like all these teams, none of them are going to win anything. So, like, why is he trying to leave just for a better role? Mm-hmm. Like, he can get his $34 million here, bet on himself, and cash in next year. That's what I would do.
For all the like the shit that I think Greeny deserves for how much like how he's been handling all this stuff from Barstool, for those who don't know, I think he made a pretty good point with Hayward and how that whole situation was handled in terms of the news getting out. Nothing got out with that. There were no leaks whatsoever. No one was getting anything out. When it comes to the real stuff with the Celtics, I think they keep it in house pretty well, and that's why like we just there was nothing. I mean, yeah, Murph got stuff and Himmelsbach got stuff later on, but it just took like it was until they figured out what they wanted to do. But do you think he's staying there? Or do you think he's gone?
My gut says he stays. Because I think you got to at this point have to either, you know, push to make him stay or push to re-sign him just or to trade him somewhere. Because I just don't want to have that dead money. I think that sucks.
That was the first thing we all thought. That was the first thing we all thought. Like it was like you. I think the first thing you said when I sent you the text that he was gone. Or, of course, I say he was gone, not that he opted out, like, irresponsibly. I think the first thing he said was, fuck.
Yep.
Shit.
Yeah, because it seems like he's screwing us.
Which is the opposite reaction you had to the Brad Wanamaker news, which...
there is a God.
Well, I think Tyler beat me to the punch on that one, right? That he's not necessarily gone, Ty?
Well, I think it all depends on Hayward, doesn't it?
I think... Was that what Himmelsbach said? I know with Semi Ojeley, it depends on Hayward. Is Wanamaker the same thing?
I think why would
no, it? No, no. I think that what everyone's pointing out is what happened last year in the last offseason. The same scenario. He didn't have an offer. Or there was an option. Either way, they let him go look at the market, and they still brought him back here. So they're kind of – the media is saying, well, it happened last year, so it's going to happen again this year. I thought Brett had a good year. He could probably get a few million dollars in the market. I mean, unless he wants to take the same, you know, $1.5-2 million deal here. Yeah. He could probably go to a bad team and be like a good backup point guard.
He'd be great in Cleveland. Yeah, that's
fine. Yeah, Orlando. Yeah,
yeah, great. I don't anywhere but here. But my point is, why at this point, if you're re-signing him, you obviously are saying Carson Edwards and Tremont are trash. Like they're useless. And isn't that why you draft you go up and we can get to Pritchard, but like that's why you get that guy in the first round, like. To me, already he's already better than Brad Wanamaker. That's a fact.
Yep.
I don't know about the Tremont stuff. I do wonder if they've lost if they have any faith at all in Carson Edwards going forward. Of course, you know, he showed some promise, but the whole thing has always been volume shooter, and he's not going to be a starter for the Celtics anytime soon. And if he can't fix that coming off the bench in his short bursts.
I think his stock went down after you were spot on who the Celtics going to take in their 14th pick. I think Edwards' stock has gone down since drafted him, because that's kind of what Edwards is, right? A volume shooter. And but mm-hmm. this guy's a legit six. What is he? 6'6"?
Nesmith. Yeah, 6'6". Yeah, 6'6". Like and
he's got a legit. He's got a legit NBA body. That's a shooter, and where Carson Edwards is small. So I feel like his stock kind of went down once they made that pick.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped when I saw Nesmith go to the Celtics. Because, look, I know you guys wanted to make moves, but, like, I know this is – like, it's him and it's Bay, and I really feel like it's going to be Nesmith. And I like the way the kid talks about shooting. He's exactly, Matt, what you said you want for the Celtics. Like, it's this guy who can rip off a screen and then, boom, pull up. Like, that's the guy – they don't have it. Like, what Ray Allen did when he was here. And this guy, it's like – he said it. I've heard him say it. He studies Ray Allen. That's who he tries, like, not maybe model his game after, but tries to learn from footwork, everything, and all that. So I thought it was a good pick. As much as people wanted them to move number 14, I think Nesmith will help them out going forward. But anyways, so there was a lot of moves. Contract stuff for the Celtics. Cantor looks like is staying, and then Taco Fall and Trayvon Waters also got qualifying offers. So it looks like they're staying. I do wonder where they stand on Tremont Waters now. I mean, Taco's just a project, and, you know, whatever happens with that happens. It's just fun to have here. But, Ty, did you have any other thoughts on what happened with the Celtics on I don't have a nickname for this day, but this day was a freaking busy one.
You didn't mention the Vincent Poirier trade.
Oh, that's –
OKC. Vinny Sexfinger is gone.
What did they trade him for, $10?
Second-round pick, may as well have been.
Washing machine.
I did not check this, but I'm sure that the Thunderwire has all the stuff. Like the Thunder, the amount of picks that those guys have, it's just like he's freaking Scrooge McDuck, Sam Presti, with all that shit.
What does it mean when they trade someone for cash considerations? Like they get money?
Yeah. I think space.
So yeah, like what? Like they give us money, or it opens up money for us? Like I don't understand.
If someone gets cash considerations and they're receiving money,
okay, that must mean you suck. If that's where you get traded for.
Did the Celtics receive? I didn't. I mean, I just saw Poirier was gone or whatever, and then I saw second round pick.
I can't believe anybody wants him on an NBA roster. That guy sucks.
You know what? It's probably that the Thunder need bodies and they want to continue tanking so that they can have their picks still be valuable. And then, they have everybody else's picks. I wonder I'm very excited to see how that pans out.
At some point, like they have too many picks where they become like not valuable.
He'll move some, but he's got so many now. It's like some of them got to hit.
But don't you feel like nowadays in the NBA, like people just trade first round picks like it's nothing?
I mean, look at what happened. Look at what happened with the Bucks. Drew Holiday is apparently worth 3 first-round picks now. Who knew?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They just
He's a good ad for the Bucks. He's a good ad for the Bucks. And also, I know when we were talking about the Bogdanović stuff, going like getting ready for this, like is he going to the Bucks? Is he not going to the Bucks? Is it sign and trade? What is it? And it looks like now, I think Mark Stein was the last one to report on this, that it is going to be a sign and trade. Bogdanović is going to be going to the Bucks. So now it's going to be him, Ty, Chris Middleton, Giannis, and Drew Holiday as their core. George Hill is out. Eric Bledsoe is out, and 3 first-round picks went to the Pelicans. I don't know what's going in exchange for the Kings, but how do you feel about where the Bucks stand right now?
I would probably still say that the favorites in the East, I think they were probably the favorites before. I think the bubble kind of gave them a weird – it messed up their groove, I guess. Like, they did not play like they were playing in the regular season in the bubble or in the playoffs, and – So I like their additions. I don't think they overpaid. I think people kind of, that was the main criticism, was they overpaid with the 3 first round picks and the right to swap for like two first round picks later on.
Yep. But that's like, the other thing. Yep.
If you look at those 3 first round picks they gave up, it was what, this year? Or I'm sorry, next year's pick?
I think it was 2025,
when they're not going to be competing anymore, and 2027. Mm-hmm. Like those. And then George Hill and who else? Eric Bledsoe. So it's literally two players and one short-term pick, one pick in like the near future for Drew Holiday and Bogdan Bogdanović. Like Donna DiVincenzo was in there as well. So like they gave up garbage and like one near first-round pick and Eric Bledsoe essentially to get all that. Like I thought it was great moves, both of them, by Milwaukee.
I think it's a huge, like a win, like they need to win now. They need to show Giannis like you should stay with us. It's your, you know, all this crap. We're committed to winning. And I know we've seen since those moves have been made, I think Kevin O'Connor, who I know you guys had on OMF and others have reported, like it looks like Giannis is going to sign the Supermax deal with the Bucks. So
yeah, you don't make those moves without the approval that he will stay long-term. You're mortgaging your future. If you're going to do that, you're going to guarantee. No, I haven't seen a report on it, but I mean, that would be a really stupid business move to mortgage your future for a guy that hasn't guaranteed he will be a part of your future, you know?
Well, we've seen people, I've seen at least two, I know one of them was Kevin O'Connor, say that the belief is now he is going to sign the Supermax.
Okay.
Which, how can it not be the belief?
I mean, yeah, and those moves, they are definitely the easy favorites in the East, obviously, unless Harden teams up and with Brooklyn, but I mean, they made the right moves. That's why I'm kind of pissed at Danny. Like they're easily the favorites now. They surrounded Giannis with what he needs. Like Eric Bledsoe, I think is highly overrated. Kind of stinks in my mind. Where you know Drew Holiday's one of the best, if not the best, like defensive guards. Also, he's way better of a playmaker than Eric Bledsoe, and obviously adding some more shooting, you know, and surrounding Giannis with more shooting. If you can do that.
Yeah. I can't. Bledsoe was like good for it feels like it was a season and a half. And then he's just like, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but he just never, I felt like his hype, whatever. It never came close to living up to that. But as much as I want to talk about the Horford stuff, when we will, because that's huge implications, I think, for the Sixers. That I think Daryl Morey, I don't like saying this, and I know Matt feels the same way as I do. Shut up, Ty. I don't want to hear anything about your Daryl Morey takes. But like, he's made some good moves around the draft and everything. But you brought up the Harden shit. Before we talk any more about the Sixers, the Harden stuff. Do you look at James Harden, Matt? I want your opinion first on this. I know, because I know where Ty stands. You add James Harden to the Nets with Kyrie, with Kevin Durant. Let's say you probably lose Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie. I don't know what else you'd lose outside of that. Maybe one of the guys. I don't know if you have maybe a pick or two for years from now. Do you think that the Nets are instantly the favorites to come out of the East?
It's not a. It could be those three, me and you out there, and yes, that we'd be the favorites.
You don't look at it at all and say you have two friggin' divas with KD.
I mean, that could obviously derail it, but I'm saying there's way too much. Like I don't know how you guard all three of those guys.
If they're all fine, then yeah, I think that you, like, okay, well, Ty, would you think that, are you worried at all about the personalities that you have to juggle with that?
Yeah, I do worry about the personalities of any team that Kyrie Irving's on. But I would also agree with Matt, like, they would instantly be the favorites just because of, like, look at how it worked out in Miami. I mean, that was really one of the first super teams. I guess you could call Boston one of them too. But in Miami, you have LeBron, who's like worth two divas alone by himself, joining somebody else's team that was already established as a title contender in Dwayne Wade's Heat. So, like, I guess that was it, kind of proof that it could work. And in most cases, if you're willing to commit to it, it will work. So if those three guys commit to doing it, I don't know. 1 year, maybe it could work. I don't see it working like in a 2-3-4 year run like the Heat. I could see it working in 1 year, and that's about it.
Okay. See that? Okay. That I could maybe get behind a little bit more talent wise. Yeah. Offensively. I mean, what do you like? Yeah. Those three individuals on the same team together shooting, whatever, like playmaking. Yes. But the problem is you go with Kyrie, who's, you know, talking about playing off the ball more this year. And he is mentally prepared for that. Okay, great. But Matt, that's a huge, you say it more than anybody. It's a huge difference from starting to play off the ball more as a guy who's, you know, typically a point guard who didn't like not being the point guard with LeBron. Now you have to have James Harden bring up the ball and pound it into the ground for, you know, 20 seconds out of the 24 second shot clock. And then like, and then he gets a shot up. Like, I don't know how Kyrie would deal with that. And I don't blame him.
I mean, I don't think James Harden would play point. I mean, if you ask me my opinion, how it would work, James Harden would play point guard. There was obviously a point in his career where he didn't have the ball in his hands and he played off the ball when he played.
And he wants to go back and not do that after being the MVP in 2018 and MVP candidate the last few years?
Maybe. I have no idea. I'm just saying it's definitely a possibility. And personally, I don't think – I hope it wouldn't work out. I hope Kyrie and James Harden, if they were together, they would fight because I hate Kyrie. But I'm just saying they're easy. If you ask me if they're the favorites, I just think, yes, this, you got too much offensive power on one team. I don't know how
in
you
– In terms of talent, it's yes. They're of course, offensively, it's not even close. But I just can't – especially with Kyrie there and with what's gone on in Houston, this implosion – I can't look at it. I can't ignore that. So I like talent wise, they're the best team on paper, no questions asked. But that doesn't guarantee anything to me. So I can't necessarily go and say, yeah, they're the favorites. I guess if I had to bet on it, I go with the Nets, but I wouldn't feel good about the bet, I guess. Would you?
Are we even sure it's going to happen? I mean, Woj like was saying that the two teams hadn't talked in a couple days.
Well, that's another story. I don't think it's going to happen. No, I really don't. I don't think the Rockets are going to do it. I think that they want to. I think they want to just keep trying with Harden. They've said it. They'll get uncomfortable in training camp and into the season. So no, I don't think they're going to do it. So yeah, but I think that super team stuff, I think, will be fine. I'm surprised that Durant wanted to do it though, because this is like where. When I see, like, Durant gets all upset when people give him crap about the Warriors stuff, right? You go and now you want to add James Harden where you already have Kyrie Irving. I'm sorry. It's like if you go and win now, how much different is it than what you did with the Warriors? It still looks pretty bad. No?
It looks really bad, yes.
Thank you. Yes. I don't get it, but
like if Durant won a championship with just Kyrie, then you could say, yeah, like mm-hmm. To me, I think that's a legit chip where if James Harden comes in, it's like, dude, yeah, exactly, you're the same, it's the same as,
yeah,
the same.
Just, yeah, it's because you just got to make sure that they don't bite each other's head off by the end of the season, and then you're fine, then you'll absolutely, yeah, win. That's a tough task, but like, yeah, anyways, I know we saw Dennis Schroeder go out west to the, or further west, I guess, to the Lakers, which then led to Danny Green going to the Thunder. My only thing with that, like, yeah, I like Schroeder more. I think he's a really good player off the bench. But I felt bad for Danny Green because, like, he deal with all this crap tie where he misses that one shot and then all of social media is roasting him. And he's getting, like, I think he got death threats or whatever it was from people. And then the Lakers go and trade him after all that happened. It's like, did you guys just cave to all the Lakers fans who were pissed at Danny Green for missing that one shot?
No, LeBron wanted him out.
Was it because of that one shot, though? That's what I mean. Like, it felt
He was bad in the playoffs. He was really bad.
He was bad.
All right, fine. All right.
Like
fine.
he shot 25% of the playoffs.
So you just give up on him completely. You think he's a choke artist?
When you're making $15 million a year, yeah.
All right, fine. I guess it's fair. But anyways, Danny Green is now soon to be member of the Philadelphia 76ers, and Al Horford is a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. That probably won't last long either. But I cannot believe that Al Horford, one and done with the Sixers after Celtics fans wanted him back, and then the Sixers give him this four-year deal for $100 million. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit happy when I saw that trade go through.
Well, that's why I said that. I think as much as I can never respect Daryl Morey because he said James Harden's a better offensive player than Michael Jordan, which is – I think that's slappable. Like, I think you should be bitch slapped for saying that. But he did really make some really good moves for the Sixers. I liked all the moves he did, to be honest.
Yep. He got Seth Curry, moved on from Josh Richardson, and then I think he also sent – Tyler Bay got traded to, I believe he went to the Mavericks, if I'm not mistaken. That's what it was. Either way. Yeah.
How about Seth Curry playing for his father-in-law now?
Yeah, that's weird.
That is so weird. Your father-in-law is your boss?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's your boss. Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah, I'm all set with that. But it's a good ad. I think
great ad.
What the Sixers have done between the two of those guys, getting some shooters now, I'm not saying – like I was talking to Kai Carlin, who we had on when the Celtics played the Sixers in the postseason. I didn't have the Sixers in my legit contenders for the Eastern Conference. I still don't have them at the top, but I think there are six teams now that you look at that can make that run and maybe sneak past the Bucks or the Nets if they end up getting – if you look at them as the number two team. Six teams in total with those two included, and the Sixers are in there now. The Pacers are out. And obviously, whoever competes for the eighth seed is irrelevant. But it's the Heat, it's the Sixers, the Celtics, the Raptors, the Bucks, and the Nets are your legit contenders in the East now, I would say.
Well, Chris Broussard said that the Sixers are only worse than the Bucks. That's the only team they're worse than.
Why?
They're the second best team.
That guy's still around?
Yeah, he's no longer a reporter because he was so bad at it. He's just now a talking head. Who tries to do morning show, with Nick Wright and Brandon Marshall on FS1 stuff. That's what he said. Sixers, second best team in the East.
That's right. He's FS1. That's what it is. Okay. Okay. So there are some other trades that went down. The Nets got Landry Shamet and I keep saying his name wrong, and Bruce Brown. Let's see. Kelly Oubre is with the Warriors now after the unfortunate Klay Thompson news. Luke Kennard is with the Clippers. And Matt, I know you were excited about Peyton Pritchard, who is now a member of the Celtics. He was the 26th overall pick for them. And Yam Mader was the 47th pick for the Celtics. He's probably just going to get stashed overseas. Any of that? What do you care about most out of all that, besides the Klay Thompson stuff, which we will touch on?
Yeah, I really like that pick at 20, Peyton Pritchard. I honestly didn't even think going into the draft. I guess I didn't look at that many draft boards, but. I thought it was definitely, you could say it's a reach. Anybody that tells me they weren't happy with the pick or, they drafted him too high, I wouldn't say I disagree, but I think it's a really good pick because I really like him as a player. I actually watched a lot of Oregon basketball. So, I think you're just getting a guy that's, he's tough. He can actually score the ball, that's what I'm saying. If he's going to play the Wanamaker role, he's already better than Wanamaker because, Brad Wanamaker was an okay defender. People are like, oh, he can guard. Wanamaker was just some stubby guy that just played physical. Well, Pritchard's pretty physical. He's not tall, but he's physical. But he actually can score the basketball. So I'm all for it. And he can shoot. Wanamaker can't shoot. So I don't know.
That's I didn't know.
But.
Is he you feel comfortable with him just pulling up from the outside and stuff with Wanamaker? Anyway, sometimes okay, but okay, so you like him more. All right.
I thought someone made a comparison on one of the shows last night. One of the analysts, he was saying he could be a Fred Van Fleet, and obviously hopefully a good friend, Fred Van Fleet, not the one we watched in the playoffs, but that's kind of what he's like. He's a tough guard. He doesn't back down, and he's actually he's pretty clutch too. Last year he made some big shots and big moments, not afraid of the moment. So that's the type of kid that they drafted. So I definitely like it. I think that he has a chance.
I knew when you texted us about it, it's like, that's an Oregon guy. Of course, Matt's going to like pumped. It. It's one of your teams. I don't think we touched on the Chris Paul to the Suns trade either, but some people were asking me, I guess people were seeing that they automatically become the fourth best team in the Western Conference with that move, Ty. I know there's you still have the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Lakers. I mean, the Warriors were there, but now with Klay Thompson and what's happened there, how do you feel about where the Suns stand now that Chris Paul is with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton?
I'm not buying them just yet. Now they went, 8-0 in the bubble, and everyone's kind of jumping on board because of the CP3 trade and the way they played to end the season. But I don't know. They still need, to have DeAndre Ayton take a leap forward, Cam Johnson take a step. They have Cam Payne as their backup point guard, and I think he's, the worst player in the NBA. I hate Cam Payne. I don't know. I don't buy the Phoenix Suns at all, man, to be honest with you. They're going to be a playoff team, but in terms of making real noise in the playoffs next year, I'm not on board with that yet.
I want to see Chris Paul. I'm sure he'll go and do what he did with the Thunder here. I mean, he's more than capable of doing that again into the postseason, as much as the Western Conference is tough. But after seeing what he did in OKC, I do want him to go somewhere where he can get his ring. Matt knows as well as anybody. I've not liked Chris Paul for a long time, but what he did last year, to me, I have a ton of respect for, and I want to see him get that shot to, even if it's in a lesser role, just to get one. Because you know, I'm with you, Ty. The Suns are going to be good. They're going to be better than they were last year for sure. And maybe this is what the franchise needs to, take that big next step forward and then turn into maybe a contender next year or the year after. Maybe that's a big maybe. Still, they'll be better and they'll probably make the playoffs. I think that's it. But fourth best, I don't know about that. But obviously, the big news coming out of Thursday was the Klay Thompson stuff. It first got talked about on Wednesday. And Matt, I know you both, we all like Klay Thompson. I don't know many people who don't like Klay Thompson. I don't know why, if you have a reason to not like him. But I know, Matt, he's one of your absolute favorite players in the league. So when we found out the news, I knew you were pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it just sucks because, I guess an ACL injury nowadays is easier to come back from. But
definitely than an Achilles, yeah.
I just don't know mentally how you come, you have an ACL injury, you do all the rehab, you come back, and then you tear your Achilles. It's like
on your other leg, too.
Yeah, and he still hasn't, it's not like he, no, it's not like he got back into game shape, was playing in a game and tore it then. He hasn't even, he was doing it in a workout. So it's like, I don't even know how mentally, physically, how you come back from that. It really sucks because he definitely is one of my favorite players. To watch.
I don't know. You're right. How do you come back from something like this? But when I saw it, I felt bad. It sucks. I did. But I looked at it and thought, Klay Thompson, I gut reaction, seriously, is Klay Thompson will come back from this. And I don't know if he's going to be the same guy he was before, but he'll still be a really good player. But Ty, I think he's going to bounce back from this.
Yeah, I just hope he, like you said, Matt, it's a good point about the mental aspect of it because, I mean, my favorite player ever is Derrick Rose, and he was totally screwed up by the multiple knee injuries, just not able to get back on the court. And I don't think he may have been the strongest person mentally going in through all those injuries. And so you throw that on top of it, and he really struggled to cope with it. He couldn't play. He's just now becoming I wouldn't say the guy he was formerly, but he is still a productive player now. And yeah, that's the challenge for Klay, is just getting over that mental hurdle.
Do you think it's a fair take to say that where D Rose is right now, because given the player he was, the size and everything, do you think what he is right now is what he would have been even if he didn't get the injury? Or do you think that you think he would have been a little bit better even at this age? Because he's up there.
I think you had in this game now with his creativity, he's finally used starting and stopping and trying, I guess he's playing more below the rim because he has to. He's not as athletic as he used to be. Mm-hmm. So, and he's actually a decent three-point shooter now, especially from the corners. So,
yeah,
I think you add that in with young D Rose's, healthy knees and, explosiveness. He was the most explosive player in the league at one
point. Oh, he wasn't even close.
So you add that guy in. with the jump shot and the smarts that he has now and the IQ. I mean, it's really hard to say what if, but like,
yeah,
that's my biggest what if is I would have loved to have seen peak Derrick Rose at 28, 29, what he could have done completely healthy.
How old is he now?
He's probably 31, 32, maybe.
Yeah, I thought that's kind of why I was getting. So yeah, he's 32. He just turned 32. That's why I was like, I don't know. Well, yeah, no, he'd probably still be a lot. Yeah, he wouldn't have been where he is now. He'd still be a little bit better. Not that he's like you said, he's getting better, but it would be a little bit different. But
he's been in the league for like 12, 13 years already, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's why I thought he was a little bit older for some reason, but I forget. Yeah. Everybody comes in at like, 15 years old.
Mike Beasley's already out of the league, and he was one pick after him.
Mike Beasley is something else. Oh, you know what? Did you guys see that last thing before we get rolling get going? Is the Mike Beasley, I think, challenged Nick Young to one-on-one. I saw it like it was on Instagram or whatever. I actually kind of want to see that. I think they're both freaking idiots, and I just can't – like they think so highly of themselves. I don't know where it comes from. But would you guys watch that if they did it?
No. Hell yes. Hell yeah.
Matt, you wouldn't?
Live? No. They're both irrelevant. I don't care. I mean, I would definitely listen if they're mic'd up and I can hear some shit talk. Yeah, but
yes. Yeah. Yes, that would be outstanding.
No interest in watching that live. They're both washed up.
I think that's a good place to put a pin in it. We'll probably be back to more normal time next week, but we'll figure that all out. Either way, we will talk to you guys again next week.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah, I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.